Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hello, hello, everybody. What's going on? My microphone was on mute that whole time. This is Wardell Posse Jr. from Solar Records Radio, and this is Retro Thursday on Solar Records Radio. I'm got my boy Phoenix hanging out with me. What's up, Phoenix?
Hey, brother. How's everything going in the Texas town?
Man, I'm telling you, there's always something, right? There's always something going on, and I just am blessed, man, just to be able to have another day to be here and play some good music for you guys and, you know, for the listeners and stuff, and just reminisce, basically, and go back down memory lane. I want to give a shout-out to all of the people that helped to make this station do what it does, and so much love to you guys, Greg and Astrid, and Don Fleming and T. Meyer McCain, and obviously who else is on the line with us from our brother Phoenix right here. So much love to all you guys for being a part of this new season as we are trying to do our best, be our best here. And I'm excited because I'm about to leave to go on the road in the morning to rehearse with the Miracles in Arizona and get ready for this cruise with the Jackson 5. And so it's going to kind of interesting because we are going to be doing, you know, that great old school stuff that Motown. It's almost like a Motown review kind of thing. It's like playing those Motown songs and just hearing them again. And they were so powerful and meant so much to me in my life as a young man. So I'm just excited, man. And so, what about you, Phoenix? I know you got a lot of going on, too. You got a new project going on.
Two movies, possibly a third movie by a famous notable that has passed. Can't disclose it yet, but, and then I have my social sites are up, so I'm in over 200 different countries right now. Just did a release, as a matter of fact, yesterday. A lot of progressive things happening. You know, the music is not dead, brother. It's very much alive.
Amen to that, man. You know, and that's really something else that you, that last statement you made, because, you know, when you think about it, this, you know, the day is we're retro, we're playing old school music and stuff. And so just thinking about it, the music is not dead. That old music really, really blesses me all the time. And I'm so grateful for it and what it does, you know, for me. It's so powerful. I don't even realize how powerful it is. I just know that there's something in music that is so good for me. At the same time, that's good for us can end up being bad for us. Too much of anything is bad for you, right? But what I mean by that is that it's so good for me. It's really, I try to listen to good music that says great things, that the lyrical content are positive and uplifting to my spirit. Because at the same time, I could be listening stuff that is really dark and pulling you down, and that could destroy you ultimately. So just as powerful it is on the good side, music is, it's also can do the same thing the other way, and that's kind of sad and crazy.
Right, absolutely. I can relate.
Yes, sir, man. So I want to get waiting for Don Fleming. He's supposed to be calling in. He wanted to talk about this, but I'm just going to try to read something to you because I don't have my glasses on, but I don't know where they are. I'm looking around here for my glasses, but I don't see it. But it says something about this topic that we're going to be talking about. I just want you to understand it. It all starts. And it's in regards to bullying. And so it says, ironically, the word bully was first used in the mid-15th century, and it was a slang word for sweetheart. So that's my bully, man. That's my bully. And, you know, that's what it was. Like, that's my bully. Come here, bully. So, and that's in the mid-1500s, right? And so, you know, it came out of the Dutch, right? And it means lover or brother. And so, it applied to either sex, right? By the 1700s, I guess that is the 17th century. So excuse me, because like I said, I'm barely reading here. Let me see here. So I wanted to just kind of tie all that into what's actually happening with that word and how it transcends a bully back in the day was something that was beautiful.
You're kind of breaking up. I didn't hear the last thing you said.
Okay. I said someone hears echo as well. Okay, so let me see if I can do this. I'm going to try to make it better for all of us. I'm going to move my microphone over here. So I think the echo should be gone now. Can you hear me now, Phoenix?
Sure, I can.
Okay. So, all right. So I am at the studio, you guys, but something right before the show started and the sound card just died. So I am using a different microphone and a different computer. So bear with me if you guys will. So like I was saying, like, I can imagine the word bully, right? Someone says, this is my bully, man. Look at my bully. And my bully is something beautiful and sweet and loving and kind and gentle. And, you know, my partner, my lover, right? And then, but what happens is that times when people are that person that you really care about, really special to you, after a while, you know, that person becomes something else as the relationship goes on, and they start to become like a nuisance, right? Because if you don't take that, if you're not taking that, if this the situation is not working out so good, if the relationship is not going where you guys thought it was going to go, all of a sudden that person is, you know, like, you know, trying to, it's so safe that I'm going to just use an example. Like, so my girl, right, I'm crazy about her in the beginning of the relationship. We're having a great time. She's my bully. She's my everything. She's my sweetheart and everything. And then, but as time goes on and I'm realizing this relationship is not working out the way that I thought it was going to work out, then I start to pull away. And then she's like, what are you doing? Why are you acting like that? You know, before you used to call me all the time. You used to give me flowers and stuff like that. And now you, like, hardly answer my calls. You're not returning anything. And then you said that person starts to become a nuisance, right? It's like, listen, I'm not interested. And they're like really hooked because you came off so good, so strong, and you're bragging about this person being your bully and how wonderful it was. And then all of a sudden, then not only is it they're a nuisance, but now they are harassing you. And so it gets worse. And it's like, you know what? You're just a bully. You're just trying to bully your way into this relationship. So that I can see how it can go from being this sweet and beautiful person to a nuisance, and then just somebody that's just forcing their way in your life because they feel like they belong there, whether you want them there or not. And so that's like a whole other version, and that's what my own interpretation of that and what it meant to me when I saw these notes that were sent to me, and I was like, whoa, I can't believe it. So then I started thinking about it, and I said, oh, okay, I see. But I'm just – what I'm really burnt out on is that all the stuff that every day, every season, every time school gets started again, the whole season from when school gets started, and it's not just in schools, but when school gets started, kids are afraid to go to school. They're afraid because they don't want to be in a situation where they get harassed and beat up and chase. That happened to me where someone stopped me as I'm on my way to school and took my money. They were bullies and took my money. I'm a little kid. He's a big old guy, you know. I'm like, okay. And I give him my 50 cents or whatever I gave him, and then I went on to school because I couldn't beat him. I was a little tiny guy, you know. And so when you're in that situation, it doesn't feel good. Have you ever experienced being bullied at all, Phoenix?
Of course. When I was in grade school, my mother used to give me what was called the Jersey haircut, which was close on the sides, and she let my hair long on the top with all these tendrils of curls. And she just thought it was the cutest thing. You know, when my dad would cut my hair, she'd say, no, don't take it off the top. You know, leave it on the bottom, you know, cut it close to the sides and leave it on the top long. And that would precipitate me being bullied. I'd go to school. I still remember the kid's name. His name was Robert Holmes. And Robert Holmes, at that time when we'd go to school, the chair was connected to the desk. They were all unitized. So your chair was connected, welded to your desk. You couldn't separate your chair from the desk. So he would come in the morning, grab me by the top of my hair and pull me backwards. So me, the table and the chair would go flying backwards. The class would crack up. And that was the beginning of how school started every single day. And I was a sweet kid. I was really a good kid. And then eventually I became the bully because I would come home. My dad was a macho man, you might say. And he would hear that I was in a fight, and he would say, did you win or did you lose? And I got beat up. No, I lost. So he would take me down in the basement, and he would box my ears, and that's what he would call it. He would just slap me around, shadow boxing, until my mother would intervene. And this went on for months until one day my uncle came over and enrolled me into Austin School of Karate. That was in 1967. And the bullying came to an end. I learned to defend myself. And then, unfortunately, I became the bully because what usually happens in a situation like that, the bullied becomes the bully. He learns to get a tougher outer skin, and then you kind of return the favor. And it was years before I got out of that loop. So, yes, bullying is a serious thing. And, you know, I was thinking in terms of what you brought to the table talking about it was the complete opposite. You know, as a spiritual person, I always look to the above. And he said, what's good is bad, and what's bad is good. And so it's very true. You know, we were little, we said, oh, man, that's bad. And that meant it was good. And if somebody was good, there was a goody two-shoes, and that was bad. So I can easily see how the script can be reversed and change something that was meant to be good to make it bad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so I put myself in these kids' position, and then I think about not just the one that's being bullied, but about the one that is the bully. And so... And I'm thinking about what has happened to them that caused them to want to harm others. Why? What is it that's happening to them that their parents are not paying attention to? You know, like what? Why would you allow your kid to be so miserable? And I know a lot of this got to do with video games. A lot of people say, well, they play in these video games that are so harmful to kids' mentality, and it makes them destructive, and they think that anything, you know, you could do anything and everything's going to be all right at the end of the day, because after you finish this crazy video game, then you just, life just continues to go on and there's no consequences for your actions. But these guys actually bring these things to life, and they make it real. They take these guns into the school system, and then they shoot and kill people. And now they're sitting in prison, and they're sitting in there. And a lot of people don't like, might not like this, but they're still the child. They're somebody's child. And it's like, what happened? And so I would like to go into those places and sit down with them and try to find out the good. I want to find the good in you, and I want to find out what caused you to flip. Like, what was it that caused you to flip? Now, just tell me this. Do you think that it's fair to charge the parents for the kids' crimes?
No. But, once again, you know, when you look at historically, when you look at biblical chronological evidence, it showed that the sins of the father would go many generations. So there is, to answer that question indirectly, there is an accountability. And I was thinking when you mentioned video games, we didn't have video games, but we had Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. And it was the funniest thing when Bugs Bunny had the big mallet in his back and the little person didn't know it. And when he least suspected, the Roadrunner or Bugs Bunny hit him over the head with this huge hammer, and you got the sound, wah, 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 and it was funny. So kids learned from generation to generation, there's always been something to stimulate a negative energy. And yes, unfortunately, one of the byproducts of bullying is that the child is embarrassed. The child doesn't want to come home and tell the parents because of peer pressure. So there's a double sort of standard that's occurring. The kid's embarrassed, doesn't want to relate and tell the parents. If the parents find out, the parent is coming to the school and there's a lot of drama, and now the kid is being harassed by other kids, is being a tattletale. And it's a lot for a young child to be able to synthesize and come up with an anecdotal response. It's difficult. So one has to be, you know, you use the expression paying attention. You really have to be in tune to your child to notice the difference in their makeup when they come home. I raise my kids, the first thing, how's your day? And I would listen to their response. If it was a, I said, sit down, let's talk about it. But economically, people are challenged. Kids are turn latchkey children. So it's so many variables that the child can fall between the cracks that it truly takes the community to be on guard towards these things. In my humble opinion.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, so I just want to just say that, you know, we have to figure out a way. I mean, I was just reading this note, and it says that, ironically enough, in the UK, they don't have a law for bullying like they do here in the States. In some states in the United States, there's a law for bullying. I wonder why they don't have a law for bullying in all states, because bullying is a well-known issue, and it's something that is very dangerous. Do you happen to know any reason why they wouldn't have a law for this crime?
Well, the political agenda, which is one of the reasons I steer clear of politics, somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. And it's never going to be fair. It's never going to be balanced. Even within the music industry, you know, I'm dealing with films. And now I'm on the back end of it. I realize it's not about talent. It's about politics. It's like, listen, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You put my guy in, and you use him as a lead role, and I'll get you funded. That's not fair. That's not talent. But that's the basis of politics. And, yes, within the American government, there's so many things that dissuade these officials from taking a stance to do what is right. And in conclusion to that thought process, once again, we cannot leave it up to the government or political agendas. We have to be proactive with our children. No matter how busy, no matter what the economic situation is, I feel my heart goes more out to the single parents because their job is that much harder. What about a woman that raises a male child and there's no husband in the house, and she's trying to keep the family running, and this little boy who's growing up to be a man child is experiencing bullying? How does she cope with that? How does the child relate that to his mother? That's when it gets really indifferent, and the child suffers. So it really requires someone to really be focused on what's happening within the confines of their personal household.
Yes, I, and you know, unfortunately, we know that there are a lot of mothers that are raising boys by themselves, but there are also a lot of fathers that are raising kids, girls by themselves as well. So, but those, like you said, that boy going to his mom. You know, I don't want my mom to think I'm a punk, like I'm scared, like I can't defend myself, you know, so I'm not going to say anything to my mom. And I was there. Now, that same guy that bullied me back then is my friend today. And the reason why he's my friend, it's so strange, right? And the reason why he's my friend today is because He found a passion that was the same as mine. He became an amazing drummer. And so we found each other at another time, like maybe a couple years later, or even just maybe a year later after he was taking my money with his friends. And what he told me was, he says, "Hey, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry about what happened. I told those guys that I didn't want to do that anymore." See, sometimes the bad guy is really a good guy, just put in a bad situation and forced to. He felt like he had to do that to be cool with everybody, but it wasn't who he was. And a lot of times people go to jail behind that kind of stuff, just trying to impress their friends and do things that they don't want to do that go really against them. And so he said, "I'm really sorry. I told the guys that that's not who I am. I want to focus on my music." And I was like, "Wow, this is crazy, because I wanted to come and see you because I heard you practicing all the time. But I didn't know how it was going to go. I didn't know if it was going to get crazy or what." And so we laughed about it. And so to this day, and that was, I tell you, I was in junior high school then. And to this day, here we are in our 60s, and we're still buddies. And so a bad situation can turn into a good situation. But that's why I said I like to go into these schools. And I mean, not these schools, but into these prisons or into the schools, maybe catch the kids before they get to the point where they may end up in prison or before they may hurt someone, and talk to them and get in their heads and try to help guide their anger to a better place. Because I think that's what's missing. They are out there making these bad decisions on their own because they're too young, or they don't have the right support group around them to help them to figure things out, and they may end up doing things that they don't want to do just because that's what everybody else around them is doing. And so,
let me tell you, I don't know whether you know it or not, but DMX, the famous rapper, was signed to me back in the day when he just got out of county. I thought about him as you were speaking, because here was a good guy that was a bad guy, and he would come to the studio with the gangster mentality, and he would act all tough. you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. use profanity in my home, in my living room. And one day I confronted him, and I told him to look around. I said, do you see any of your gangster guys? I said, no. And I told him, I said, listen, I'm old enough to be your dad. Watch your tone. And one thing I demand is respect. And I would say that maybe I had an effect on him because as I started to see him later on, I know Jam and Lewis picked him up. I didn't enforce the contract, and I let him go without any kind of repercussion. But I became a role model to him. Even as a spiritual man, I became a role model. And I believe, and understanding scripture, I understand that the Creator always sees good in us. You know, I told somebody, you can hate what somebody has done, but still love them. You know, even a mother that knows the child has done a heinous crime, she hates what the child has done, but she still loves her child, and there's a difference. And if you're patient enough, yes, I do believe that there are returnable qualities within the person to get back on the right track. I mean, unfortunately, our prison systems, although they tout themselves as having the ability to reform a prisoner, they really only sometimes wind up promoting more violence and mayhem because they put them in an environment where they're unchecked and they're not counseled. So, yeah, I applaud the thought. Many times I had the same idea of going to prison and speaking to those disenfranchised because they're people, too. And you'll find underneath that hard exterior sometimes is the nicest guy, but they haven't been challenged or channeled into a proper direction. So, yeah.
Yes, sir.
That is definitely a thing.
Yes, it definitely is. I was just reading a statistic that came in from the company here, and it says 64% of children in the U.S. will be bullied in their school years. 85% of children will witness their friends being bullied. That's staggering. That statistic is staggering because first of all, 64% of children in the U.S. will be bullied, and then 85% will witness that. You know, and so I don't know how it gets, how come so many children feel the need to hurt other children or to put them down or to beat them up. Why is that the case? Instead of we're not lifting each other up and being a blessing to one another, we are preferring, our children are preferring to do the total opposite. And is it because, do you think it could be because we put kids in, and we shouldn't put a certain age kids with other kids that are older because, you know, the older kids tend to, even like our siblings, you know, the older brothers and sisters will be a little harder on the younger ones because they feel like they have somebody that they could take their anger out on. So these people are not their siblings, and they naturally do that. Do you believe that that's a possibility?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a total, our prison system, in my humble observation and opinion, is decayed, and we know from sports figures, you know, people don't realize that prisons are big business. A very notable ball player, I won't say his name, but very notable, is very much involved in the prison system. It's a cash cow. I mean, they make more money in a young child being incarcerated than you could shake a stick at. I mean, like he's in a luxury a condo. I mean, it's incredible the money that they make. And so you see once again that the policies and agendas that these regulatory agencies create is designed to fail. So once again, the only thing that we can do, the only repercussion is to stay ready, is to be focused on those that are within our household and those in which we may come in contact with, because you're absolutely right. You have young kids with older populations. You have people that have committed heinous crimes. And then you got somebody that basically didn't pay their parking tickets. That could be in the same, you know, in the same mix.
Right.
I mean, I had one, I got stopped once when I was in New York, and it was when Mayor Giuliani was in place, and he was doing what they call the clean sweep. So if you got stopped on any, you know, situation or infraction, they ran you to prison for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Until your information went back to Albany. And, man, I came across some of the hardest criminals. And I tell you what, I still draw from that experience because I didn't realize I was a prima donna. I had no idea, you know, what these guys go through. And it was only 25 hours that I spent incarcerated. But I tell you what, it peeled that whole facade that I had of what I thought things was. When you're inside, you come across some hardened criminals, bro. And if you're not ready to defend your honor, you got a problem.
Absolutely. You know, I got to tell you that based off of what you just said, I want to tell you a couple things. But based off what you just said in regards to the police and stuff, I know for a fact because, you know, my family is involved in, you know, they're police officers and they serve in, you know, my dad was a police officer as well before he became a pastor. But I have a lot of family members that are in that. And so, but I found out that there are a lot of police officers, and this is sad. This is a sad reality. There are a lot of men that were bullied when they were kids that become police officers, and then they become the bully. And because this is the time where they can get revenge now. And they take it, and the sad thing is that they're not just taking it out on the person that did it to them, they're taking it out on any and everybody because they're angry. And so they're angry because they were abused and they didn't get fixed when they were younger. And so as they got older, they decided they're going to channel this energy in finding a position that will allow them to be the authority. And that's the sad thing about the police department now, because you have a lot of people, police officers, in this position where they're supposed to protect and serve, but the only thing that they're serving is their ego. And that just breaks my heart. And so I know that to be a fact, and it's really sad. Also, if you want to respond to that, you can, but I wanted to tell you something else.
Go on. I'm listening.
Okay. So, as a young man, I remember when we talk about sometimes kids do things because, you know, that's what their friends doing. That's what, you know, and so they're kind of like forced to, you know, if you want to be a part of the team, you know, this is what you got to do. And so I remember now being on the other side, and I was like the guy that bullied me. I remember, and this was just for a moment. It only happened for a moment, and I'm so glad it only happened for a moment because I learned a good lesson in that moment. And so there was this kid who lived across the street from me, and all the other kids that I was hanging out with always used to tease him and call him names. And I never was that kind of a person. I liked everybody. Right? You know, you are who you are, and I just liked everybody. But I was always hanging out with these other guys because we had more things in common. And so one particular day, it got bad, and they started messing with him, and they started fighting with him, and he tried to fight back. But the problem is that So he ran, right? And so then, and then they say, and I was walking up the street, and they say, get him, get him. They called me by my nickname. I'm not going to tell y'all what my nickname was, but they said, get him, get him. And so I ran over there to get him, and then he started running, and so now chasing him, and that part was fun because I like to run. So I'm chasing him, and so I'm feeling like I'm winning because I'm a good runner, and I'm chasing him, and then he finally runs up the steps and into his house, and he ran into his house, and his mother said, "What are you doing running in here?" And she said, he's chasing me. He's trying to hurt me. And I'm standing out there on the porch, and you know, and I'm looking up the street, and all my friends are like, yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm standing there in this situation that I don't want to be in. I don't want to be in this situation, but I'm in it now. I've chased him all the way home. And so then all his mom told him, you go back outside and you fight. Don't come back in here until you finish. And I was like, and so he came outside, and he came out with all these confidence. And I didn't even want to fight, but here I am. And all of a sudden, we're fighting on the steps and everything. And then I realized, what did I get myself into? And finally, the adult stopped us and got us off. And so then I went home, and then I realized, what? I don't know what I did. I don't know why I did that, but then when I look back, I know why. But it's like I put myself in that position to be a bully, and when he came back out with his confidence and he started fighting me, he could beat me. He was taller, he was bigger and everything, but he was just afraid because that's not who he was. That wasn't his makeup, and I was chasing him because I was trying to please my friends. So we got to be careful, you know, like who our kids – if we're paying attention to the kids, who they associate with. And this is what, you know, because they say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You got to be careful who you hang out with because that'll be a part of what you have to deal with. I want to read something else to you, another thing. It says, is cyberbullying easier to deal with because online, I don't have to read it, neither do I need to respond to it. That's a question for you, Phoenix.
Hang on one sec.
Well, while he's doing what he's doing, I will answer that for myself. So, and that is that I've watched just recently a young lady kill herself because of cyberbullying. So it depends on the individual. It's more of an individual thing, not necessarily is one worse than the other, because there are like a lot of kids that come up in this technology, that's their whole world right there. They feel like they have to participate in it because that's what they grew up in, that computer stuff. And so they go right to it, and the poor child killed herself over it, over this girl telling her to kill herself, that nobody cares about her. That is, you know, nobody cares about you. You're a waste. Just go ahead on and take yourself out. And she says, well, I'm thinking about it. And so once she allowed that bully to recognize the fact that she had that weak link, that bully kept on pushing that button, pushing and pushing and telling her, just kill yourself. What are you waiting for? You just talking. Don't just go ahead and do it. And she eventually killed herself. It was a young girl. So it's just that some people can't not read it. Some people can't ignore it because that's just their makeup, you know, and unfortunately for the young lady, it was her makeup, and she ended up losing her life behind it. So, but bullying itself is just such a terrible, terrible thing that any of us would have to deal with, and I was on both sides of it, and I feel bad that I, you know, hurt my friend. I feel bad that, and by the way, that person is still my friend to this day. But I feel bad that, you know, that I allow my friends to influence me into doing something wrong. Should you want me, I responded to that question already. Would you like for me to read it to you again?
Yes,
Phoenix.
Please.
Is cyberbullying easier to deal with because it's online, or I don't have to read it, or neither do I need to respond to it?
No, I don't think it's easier. I think that it's how it affects you. I think we're living in a world that's over-editorialized. You know, years ago, we didn't have the expansive capability. I mean, you have the average little kid today got 20,000 followers. Average. That's like not even like great. So can you imagine if 20,000 people are calling you out of your name and you become aware of it? You walk into the school, you've seen the movies and how they depict it,
yeah,
and all the kids
oh,
are
yeah.
turning and looking at the kid and laughing.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yes.
serious. That's, you know, that is so debilitating already with a young mind that is incapable, okay, of handling rejection. I mean, we're adults, and it's difficult to handle rejection, as opposed
yes.
to an adolescent mind that's not developed mentally, physically, or spiritually, and they can't handle it. So to me, it's a resounding no. No, it's not easy. It's actually harder because these kids have so much that they got to deal with today. You know, it's so
yeah.
it hits such a broader market, you know, that it has a profound effect, yes, even to the point of them taking their lives. I know of one such young girl, and she was a beautiful little girl. She had little issues with her parents, and they were spiritual, so they were strict as to who she would speak with. And I used to always make it my business to be a big brother to her, to be an uncle. I'd pick her up. Her mother used to afford me the honor. If she wasn't getting home in time, she'd call me, and I'd go pick up her daughter from school, and I would take her out to McDonald's. I'd talk. We'd play music. I'd let her hear what I was working on just to make her feel that she was a part of, as opposed to being separated. And when I heard this little girl went in her room, closed the door, took a strap and put it around the ceiling fan, stepped off the chair, and hung herself. And according to the doctor, he believed that she had an epiphany. She changed her mind because she started to cry and struggle, which shows
yeah.
that she changed her mind. But the chair got dislodged from under her. And she hung to her death. I mean, when the parents got her, she wasn't dead, but she was brain dead, and they were never able to bring her back. And the poor little soul left the earth, you know.
Wow.
So it's, that affected me, man, because
yeah.
she was such a good kid. And
wow.
sometimes, you know, parents think they're doing the right thing by being super overbearing and super strict and overprotective instead of allowing the child to open up. And
yes.
venting whatever that situation is, hard, bro. It's hard. It's heartbreaking. It really is.
Okay. Well, listen, we only got a few minutes left. I wanna ask you one last question, and thank you for sharing that. And I'm sorry for the young lady. So how do I, you know, as a child, handle a situation when the bullying has become mobbing? In other words, more than one person is being hostile. How do I survive?
Well,
how do I handle it?
Well, you have to find an outlet, you know, whether it's sports, whether it's an uncle or an aunt, because sometimes kids are afraid to go to their parents. They're embarrassed. You know, find someone in your inner circle that's going to be neutral that's going to be willing to listen. That might be a spiritual elder in your congregation. Find somebody that's going to be in a neutral position and is going to listen. You know, because sometimes I've learned in counseling, it's not about talking when you're counseling somebody. It's about listening. You know, it's about them venting. Oh, I got this problem, and they're blah, 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 blah. Just listen. They're not really looking for an answer. They're looking for you to listen and to open up. And so the inverse of that applies. If you are being victimized, even if it's a hotline, sometimes the hotlines are appropriate because it's a complete stranger. It's somebody that doesn't know you personally. But the point is, let that air out of your emotional tires. Let that air out of your emotional tires and allow someone to listen to the things that are troubling you. Sometimes that's all that's required. Sometimes. So a listening
right,
is.
Excellent. And, you know, I have a suggestion. I have a suggestion. It's kind of wild, but I think it would help a lot because I'm radical like this, or I'm random like this. My thought is so random, but it's this. Why don't we have bullying classes so that the kids, everybody can recognize what a bully is, how it starts, why it starts, how to deal with it, how to get rid of it, and how to love someone who may, instead of hurting someone. I think if we had that as a class, it would bring this sneaky feeling that these bullies have to hurt someone. It would bring it all to the front. And now it's like, and then not only will they feel like they're talking about them, but they could learn from it, that it does nothing good for you. You know, especially if the teacher is saying it's a person that may feel inadequate. You know, you start to say things like this, and then these things start to sit in like, wait a minute, do I feel not good enough? Is something happening at my home that's causing me to feel this way? Am I being abused and I didn't know it, and now I'm taking out other people? They just talking about it, I believe that will really, really help. I have one other thing to say, and then we're done. This is great. Thank you so much, Greg, for coming up with this topic. I love you, Greg. Thank you so much. This is something else, bullying notes, and I think this really applies back to what I was saying earlier about the police officers, the people that go into the serve and protect thing, because they have been abused and now they want to abuse. And so, but this, I think this applies to that. It says bullying, isolation and loneliness. This stays with the victim even when the bully has been removed, because the victim's wounds are not addressed. And so if that's exactly what it is. Your wounds have never been addressed, and so it causes people to, they're going to still feel what they feel, and they're going to still do what they're going to do about it. And that's the sad reality that we all have to deal with at the end of the day. We're all victims of it, because to sit down and see it on the news, it just breaks my heart. And then when it's my nephew or my cousin or my niece or my brother's child, you know, friend or somebody, it hurts me. It's like, why are people doing this to each other? So we're all victims of it. So I just wish that we could do something to help these kids. And that's why I said, that's why maybe they should have classes about it instead of just making it some kind of, we're just going to have punishment laws. Okay, that's fine. You can do that. But, you know, let's try to get to it before it gets there. Let's try to fix it before it gets there, and maybe in junior high school.
The only word of caution I would say in a situation like that is there's no one size fits all. you know, you're dealing with feelings, and feelings come in a variety of colors, shapes, and sizes.
Absolutely.
Be quick to listen. Be less to condemn. Don't be so quick to offer a Band-Aid. Listen. Those that are in spiritual positions of oversight, those that are counselors. The child, most importantly, as you mentioned, is in a bruised state. Handle them with chicken gloves, because you never know the outcome. You know, what is bad can advance from bad to worse. But if we listen,
amen,
and we don't, and we treat everything on an individual basis, and be receptive. You know, one of the things in conclusion that I always think about is my mom. No matter what I did, she was always willing to hear my side. And that changed.
Mm.
So, yes,
amen,
be willing to listen.
All right, brother. Is there anything else you'd like to say in closing?
No, I mean, it's a troubling topic. It affects many people, and we all have to do our parts to make it better.
Amen to that.
Amen.
I love it. Love it. All right.
All right.
Well, I hear a little echo, so I got to get rid of that. And it is time for the second half of the show. Phoenix, I want to thank you so much for blessing us and, you know, just coming on and taking an hour out of your day to be a part of the show. We love you and appreciate you. And happy new season here with us, and we look forward to some great shows in the future.
And some new music coming down the pikes, man, I want to share. A lot of new music that's doing well.
Oh, yes.
And, you know,
I was thinking
in terms of someone made a point that they weren't lyrics, but they were psalms. I try to write from the heart. It's not fictional. There are a lot of things
mm-hmm.
that we all experience. And if we write from the tablets of our heart, it can be instructional.
Amen. Write from the tablets of our heart. I know that's by one of your songs, Slippery. I like that.
All right.
I like that. All right. Well, anyway, guys.
Okay, brother.
So here we go on Soul Eye Records. Yes, God bless you, Phoenix. And you take care, man.
Thank you.
Hey, Phoenix.
You as well. Yes,
Phoenix.
Sir.
Tomorrow,
yes, sir.
I'm flying into Phoenix. I'm flying into Phoenix tomorrow.
Oh, wow, yeah. Wow. Well, safe journey, man.
All right, brother. I'll be there the whole weekend, so I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. All right, guys. So it is time for the second half of the show. We want to thank you so much for tuning in today. We really appreciate Phoenix coming on and blessing us. And nice topic. Thank you, Greg, for pushing that. And he had mentioned it before, so we were able to talk about it. And I just, it really got me going, you know. Wow. Because I love people, and I especially love kids. And we want to protect them at all costs. We want to make sure that they have a good shot, a fair shot, and not get, you know, just screwed up by misinformation, right? So God bless our kids, and please protect our children. And with that being said, I'm going to play a very special song for Rachel, this is my one of my best friends, Greg. This is for his niece, and so. You guys, thank you again for tuning in today, Soul Eye Records Radio, and you know, and we're gonna have a good time. We're just gonna now go down memory lane together. So kick back, relax, and let's do this together. Thank you.
There's a lady who's sure all it glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed. With a word, she can get what she came for. She's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have to mean. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts
but so
What an amazing, an amazing song there. Hey, so listen, guys, I have a treat for you guys all right now. We have no other than to be Justin here from the Miracles on the line with us, the lead singer. What's up, Sid?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Oh, fine. I told everybody that you're kidnapping me this weekend. So
yeah.
And
this weekend, you're all ours this weekend.
Yeah, my whole church is like, what? Oh, well, but they actually like the Miracles, so it's like, oh, go have fun. I even went to the hospital this morning. So I went to the hospital to see one of the deacons, and he is like, okay, well, have fun. Play for me. So, oh, man. So,
right on, man, right on.
So how you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing good. Just getting ready for the show, you know, getting ready for us to take off and do what we got to do and, you know, come back and do it again. And do it over and over again. That's about it. I'm enjoying the people. You know, the fans are so gracious and just so accepting, and you know, really happy to hear the songs again and you know again like we do with them. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a fun trip for me. You know, for the past 25 years or so. You know, so.
Right.
It's been really rewarding, you know, for me as well as the fan. So it's been great.
Hey,
I
have a lot of people that want to, you know, follow you guys and stuff. So, and they were trying to find out about gigs and all that kind of stuff. So can you give the official website? Because I screwed up, I guess.
Yeah, the official website is themiraclesmusic.com. All one word, themiraclesmusic.com. You got to put in the word the. Because if you put in, the, you know, just, like, if you just put in
miracles
music, it's just, it's not going to go anywhere. But you have to put themiraclesmusic.com.
Okay, cool. Man, oh, man. I said that Sidney was born to sing these songs. If you guys hear his voice singing these songs, and unfortunately, you know, I hear in the middle of the night when I wake up, I'm singing dang songs, hearing Sidney singing because I had to learn all these songs, again, right? And so it's one thing hearing the songs, but learning them is another story, right? So I had to, like, constantly keep playing it, and I play it all the time. And so it's just in my subliminal memory. It just pops in my head at any given time. And so I hear his voice, but his voice sounds so good. It sounds so damn good. As a record producer, I got to tell you, you have one amazing voice, my brother. And, man, you do it well.
I appreciate that, man.
Whoa.
We're really excited to have you on board with us. We're really excited. Everybody's excited to work with you and to be a part, for you to be a part of our world for a little while. And it's just amazing that that we're working together again. You know, from back in the day, we were neighbors. You know, we lived across the street from one another.
Right, we live right across the street from each other. I could throw a rock at his house. Right across the street.
That was great, and you know, that was a while back too, man. When I think about it, you know, that's a long time ago, man. We've known each other for a long time, bro. Seriously,
a long time. That's right, man. Don't tell our age, but yeah.
No, long time. But you know, I'm still 22. You know, still.
There
that's
you go.
22. That's all. 22 on one foot.
Name it, claim it.
That's right. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday about the same exact subject, a young guy, and I told him, I was like, you know, the more you say your age, the more you're gonna get older. I said, but if you just forget about it, forget about your age,
let it go.
You're gonna stay young. I said, forget about your age. Just go on with life, and
go
and it'll work out.
it'll work itself out.
Exactly, it'll work itself out. You don't have to tell anybody anything.
when you've been touring with the Miracles 25 years, like who name some of the people that you really enjoy performing with? I know you. I mean, yeah, I've heard some of the people already. I'm like, whoa. So why don't you name, like, who was it that really stood out to you out of all these different amazing acts that you guys have been on tour with?
Well, the Commodores, you know, the Commodores were great. We worked with the Jacksons. We worked with, like everybody, man, just about everybody. You know,
Jeffrey Osborne.
Jeffrey Osborne, yeah. Stylistics.
Yes.
Let's see. One group I would have loved to have worked with was the Dramatics. You know, I love the Dramatics, and so you know Ron Banks. You know, at one point they asked me to join that group. At one point, Willie Ford called me and said, "Hey man, you know we're looking for a lead singer. We love your sound. We'd love to have you come in and work with us." But unfortunately, I was still with the Miracles at the time, so we were kind of not doing much because of we had a death. Bobby Rogers had passed away. One of the original members of the Miracles had passed away, and we weren't doing very much at the time. So he asked me, and I was very tempted to do it, but I'm loyal. I'm a loyal person, so I wanted to stick with the Miracles and stick with doing what we were doing. And
Right. Dramatics bad, though. Ooh, you're right. You're right.
They were awesome, man. They were awesome back in the day, man. They were like, they were like, to me, the top group, at that time, So, Ouija, he's one of the greatest singers ever.
Yeah, what about the Dells and the Dells? You guys ever do anything with them, the Dells?
I think we did something with them on a cruise, and then we also work with who else did we work with? Earth, Wind, and Fire. We've done quite a few different groups.
Oh yeah, I know, because you were telling me somebody today, and I can't remember who it was. I was like, what? So it's really exciting, man. To be in the business and just to be out there and, get to hang out with all these, amazing talents and stuff. So thank you so much for, answering my prayer and bringing me along with you guys. I appreciate that. And I just want to, say, I'm a hats off to your wife, who is the manager, and she's been amazing in the way that she handles us guys. So tell her thank you. For being a blessing.
Yeah, I will, man. I'll let her know. Well, you'll see her. You'll see her tomorrow. We're gonna all hook up tomorrow and go to dinner and stuff like that. And after rehearsal, we'll all go to dinner and stuff. Everything is good, bro. Everything is really good. You tell your wife I said hello.
Okay, for sure.
And we just unless you have another question, you have a question for me. Another question.
Well, I just think that, this season is coming, and are you going to sing this song?
Sleep in heavenly peace.
Yeah, that song is so beautiful. The way you sing that song is crazy. So we
I appreciate it, man.
You got to put that in the show. You got to put that in the show.
It is. It's in the show.
Oh, okay, good. That, woo.
It's in the show. In the Christmas show, we do. You know, whenever we do a Christmas show, we do that song, and we do, you know, we do quite a few Christmas songs in our Christmas presentation. You know, so it's been a really fun ride, man. You know, with the miracles. You know, I mean,
yes.
Everybody knows Smokey Robinson. You know what I mean? So, so being a part of this group and singing, you know, songs that Smokey wrote, and you know, I admire that guy so much. I really do have I think he's you know, one of the greatest songwriters ever. And
ever.
And so
amazing.
Ever. I mean, you really, if people really look back and see the hits he created, you know, I have much respect for him. And so you know, everything has just been, it's just been so, you know, just wonderful for us to have to do something with people like that, you know, with Berry Gordy, Stevie Wonder, you know, people of that caliber, you know, all the Motown artists that have blessed the world with their talents and everything. So, you know, to be a part amongst that. You know, Miss Claudette Robinson, who's Smokey's, you know, former wife. You know, she's a wonderful person, and supports us 1,000%. And so we, you know, we do a lot of things with the Motown family. We won the HAL Awards a couple years ago. We won the industry award. It's called the HAL Awards. We won that. I think it was like 4 years ago, and everybody was there at the ceremony. You know, it was great. It was really nice, you know, to be a part of something like that. Mm-hmm.
Man, that is so cool. Wow. Well, you know, Motown, something else, right? They did it. They did it right.
Motown was a special, a very, very special organization with very, very special talent. And
absolutely.
And I mean, listen, it's a lot of things, artists in the world today that have had record deals, you know, 10 years ago, you don't hear about them anymore, you know,
mm-hmm,
you don't
mm-hmm.
hear anything, but, with, you know, Motown's been around 60 years.
Yes.
You know, 60 years
Lord,
of Motown, you know.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
So it's still going strong, you know, people still enjoy the music, the songs, the sounds that came out of that, you know, and I'm just really happy to be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm happy you're a part of it too now, brother.
Hey, man, that's beautiful, man. Thank you for bringing me in. I appreciate it. And so this tour with the Jacksons and the Caribbeans, it's sold out, huh?
Yeah. That we're doing this new one. I mean, the first one is the Malt Shop. So it's a little bit of an older crowd, and it sold out. Yeah, that one sold out, and I think you know, and I think we're trying to get on the Soul Train cruise now. We kind of had a conflict at one point, so it was kind of interesting. But we'd love to get on that Soul Train cruise. We love the Soul. We've done it before several times. And also the disco
mm-hmm.
cruise. So there are all these different cruises by a company called Star Vista, and they bring all these different artists on board. And that's where
mm-hmm.
we met Jeffrey Osborne and, you know, several other artists like that. And they have like about maybe, let's say, 10 or 15 different artists.
Okay. Well, listen, so can you do us a favor?
You know, nightly?
As soon as you know.
Yeah.
As soon as you know when the next cruise is going to happen, will you come on and let us know? Because I have a lot of people that were trying to get on Miss Jackson's tour, but it was already booked up. So as soon as you know, will you come on and let us so we can
yeah,
let the
sure.
know so they can Okay,
most
cool
definitely.
Doing.
Yeah, most definitely. I definitely, you know, well, you're gonna know early, so I'll definitely let you know.
Okay.
But I'd love to come on and tell everyone about it and go from there.
Okay. All right, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And God bless you, man.
Sure.
Much love to you and your family. And I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Same to you, too, man. You know, love, bro. Love is the answer here, man.
Love is the answer.
I'm talking about the whole world, bro. Love is the answer, you know? So,
yes, absolutely.
Hate is
the world needs.
Mm-hmm.
Very destructive. Very destructive. Hey, Sid, quickly, before you go, did I tell you that that our topic was about bullying?
Oh yeah, you did. You did mention that to me.
Wasn't that funny where the word came from, though? When I told
that was hilarious.
About it?
I mean, it started off as a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Bullying started off as a good thing.
I know,
but I guess it's changed its persona.
yep, exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Satan started off as a good thing too.
What's that? I couldn't hear you. Satan? Oh,
Satan.
Yeah, exactly. Satan started off as an angel.
Right.
So you know,
praise and worship leader. He was the praise and worship leader of heaven. But he started feeling himself.
That's right.
You gotta be
careful. Ego is something else, isn't it? Ego is
I know a lot of
people with egos, man, and you know, it never serves them correctly. You know what I mean? They lose out on so much.
Just the thought of that, an ego will get you kicked out of heaven. Whoa!
That's right.
That's so
think about that one.
That is so,
you know,
wild.
So,
watch the ego, y'all.
Most definitely.
Watch that ego. All right, man.
Your ego is not a good thing. That's right. Be humble.
Yep.
Be humble.
Yes,
hey,
be
listen,
humble.
Love everybody. You guys take care.
All right, love
take
you
care,
too, brother.
Man. I'll talk to you later, bro. All right. Take care.
Okay, later. All right.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, guys, let's get going here. And since we talked about the Jacksons, here we go. Let's get going.
Where I'm at. Thank you.
recording that song, and every time I hear it, I still get the same feeling, the same excitement. That's what I love about just good music, no matter what it is. And so these songs that I've been playing for you guys, I hope you feel the same way. That is, because it's just amazing. I know that's Rachel's song right there. So much love to you. She heard that song for you. And thank you so much for tuning in and telling your friends and just hanging out with us here at Solar Records Radio over in the U.S. of A. And Uncle Greg, it's all good, my brother. Thanks for that first song that you guys picked. That was great. And I'm just so excited about the music that I'm about to play. I'm looking at songs right now that I'm so anxious to play. And so, listen, I'm going to play this song because this is Greg and my favorite old school song. And so, I'm trying to speak for Greg, but I remember the other day when he did the show, and it was just something about this song that meant so much to us back in the day and still today, because the world is in trouble and we need a little harder.
right there and all that good stuff. What's up, Don Fleming in the house, y'all?
I'm good.
Is that Mr.
The Manhattans, man. Shining Star, I love
that. Yes, they are. They are something else, man. So, but anyway, guys, everything good? You good, Don? How's it going?
Man, I am good. I had to step away for a couple of minutes, but I'm enjoying the show. Man, shout out to Sydney. Shout out to you guys. You know, you getting ready to go out and play some gigs, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun. We're gonna try to have a good time, and you know, it's just like I said, you gotta be careful when you ask for something, because when it comes, you need to be ready for it. It's like, oh man, here we go. Okay, this is what I asked for. So God bless you with the opportunity to do this with these guys, and so that's what I'm going to do. I want to give a shout out to all our friends over in the UK. What's up, everybody? Hanging out with us here on Solar Records Radio, Don Fleming, Wardell Potts, and also we had our brother Phoenix in the first half of the show. So thank you so much, Rachel,
man,
and your friends hanging out with
that.
Us. We are grateful.
I hate I didn't get a chance to hang out. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry I didn't want to speak over you, but I hate I didn't get a chance to meet and talk with you guys about on the conversation about bullying, man. That was something I definitely would have contributed and you know, added my two cents on, man. And you know, Phoenix is just the man when it comes to these type of conversations.
Yes, and we're so grateful that, you know, we had the chance to talk about these things, because it was something that I experienced from both sides, from being bullied and being the bully. And so, you know, ultimately, man, it was just a blessed conversation. And I hope that we learned something from it, and that we could, you know, use these kind of conversations to go back and talk to our kids and our nieces and nephews, and, you know, just kind of, you know, see where they are and love them right where they are, and whether they're the bully or being bullied and stuff, and, you know, or they know someone else is being bullied, you know. You know, a lot of times kids get quiet and they shut down when they're being abused. And so that's why we need to talk to them, you know, get them to open up a little bit. But it's the way that we do it. You know, we have to make them comfortable. We have to get down to their level. Like you, Don, you can get on video games and play with them, you know, because you're a video game guy. You can get on your gamer thing and they get down to their level, and then, you know, start talking to them about certain things. And before you know it, you know, you're in the know. The know-how, they're telling you everything that's going on. And so, and then that's when you can, you know, just really kind of bless them right where they are. So, but it was just, it was a good conversation, man. And you've been an ex-school teacher, you know, I had suggested that maybe we should have bullying classes where, you know, so that the kids that are thinking about being a bully could kind of learn why they shouldn't do it. And the kids that are being bullied can kind of understand what they're dealing with and who they should go to instead of keeping it to themselves, you know. And so it kind of helps to teach the kids how to handle the moment while they're in the moment, because it's better to catch them before they do something crazy, you know, and you know, and just catch them right where they are and say, no. Don't do that, because I remember when I was the bully and I did something I didn't want to do, but I was just trying to do it for my friends, you know, for my friends to be happy with me. And I was doing something I shouldn't have did. And I learned real quickly that wasn't the right thing to do. And I never did that again. But some people don't learn that's not the right thing. And they keep doing it until they end up in lots of trouble. And so that's kind of like, you know, what we talked about in regards to that. And so, what do you think about teaching bullying in schools? Like having a class about it so that you can kind of bless the kids right where they are.
I think having some type of awareness about it I don't see who's going to turn that down, you know, who's going to advocate. I'd advocate for that in the heartbeat, because it's something that needs to be learned, because it's a part of growing up, not saying, kids should be bullied. No, we got to understand there are people that you're not going to get along with. And at the same time, there has to be some type of conflict resolution, even at a young age. So having an awareness for it, I'm all for it.
Amen, man. Well, dude, get on your – I want to hear – uh-oh, Lord have mercy. My thing is just ringing. Yes, class, yes, about bullying. Yes, yes. I get people agreeing with that because I think it is really, you know, we catch them right there, right where they are, man. And so because some will be called out in the class, you know, but to themselves, silently be called out like, oh, crap, I don't want to do that. You know, and they keep it to themselves, you know. I didn't think about that. You know, man, oh, wow. You know, and so I think it's really a good thing that, you know, maybe I don't know how to address that to, you know, the school district and all that kind of stuff, but I think it's something that they should think about. But anyway, Di, I know, you know, we got about another, whoa, we only have 1 minute. How much time we got left?
Man,
The show is over? Oh, my God. Well, anyway, God bless you guys, and thank you so much. You know, Don Fleming got a show tonight, right? So,
yeah.
Hey, so make sure you tune in. What time is your show?
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you tune in, hang out with me.
All right. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. And we love you guys.
Act like you know.
Thank you so much.
Act like you know.
Yes. Yeah. Larry. And so thank you guys so much for being a part of the show. You know, may God bless you and keep you. And tomorrow, don't forget, we're celebrating the Sound of Los Angeles Records. I will be flying, so I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do, how we're going to work it out, but God is in control, and all is good. So thank you again. We appreciate you. God bless you all, and take care. May God bless. Don, you want to let that Fat Larry song play us out of here?
Play it out, and we'll see you tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in. And until then, hey, have a good lunch, and come back with me tonight. Hang out with me.
Yeah, you ought to know. Well, well, well. The fashion is threat to kill, so if you dare put on your dancing wear. We'll be right back.
Well, just like you know, yeah.